Oh, struck him out. Fuck off. God damn it.
Yes, it is Mike watching baseball while we podcast season.
That's right. That's right.
Man, it's the perfect podcast sport. Just boring and not distracting enough.
That's right.
For us to record and for no one to never know the words.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. I know. The game went so fast tonight that the Mets had a no-hitter through seven.
It ain't no easy thing to do, but watch this.
Hi, how are you? Can I help you with something?
How you doing, man?
This is the Safest Month Podcast, where Ab and I get together twice a month to use bad words to talk about things we like.
All right, and now you have to tell me if you are having a drink.
Ho, 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 by podcast law, Mike. I will let you know that I am having an Old Forester 1910 : Old Fine Whiskey on a rock, and it's delicious.
That sounds very tasty.
It's so good.
Mm.
I like Old Forester. It is a go-to in the rotation.
Is that the higher proof one, the 1910?
This is a 93 proof. This would be good. I think this would be very good as a the base for an Old Fashioned.
Okay. All right. You know what? I don't believe you. I challenge you to prove it to me.
Oh, I'll take a break in between topics.
I gotcha. No, not for you. Wait, no.
Take a break and drive an Old Fashioned over to you.
Very good then.
Just get a thermos. Ring the bell. You run to the front porch. Pour, pour, pour. And I'll get back in my car. You finished recording at midnight tonight, huh?
Oh boy, no. Cannot do that. Cannot do that. No.
How about yourself, Mike?
I'm enjoying a gin and tonic with Sipsmith's English dry gin. And the classic blue label Mediterranean tonic from Fever Tree. I love it.
How often are you putting lime in the mix?
Every time.
When you're doing that? Okay.
Yep.
I try to keep
unless we're out of limes
in the house. Yeah, correct. Yeah. Like, I try to keep them in the house. I would say I'm probably 50-50 of am I getting a lime inside my gin and tonic? And frankly, I like it when I do, and also I don't care if I don't.
It doesn't bother me to not have it. Michelle insists on a little citrus in her gin.
She wants it proper.
Yeah. So we're probably 90-10 with limes.
The problem is we can keep tonic in the house. We can keep gin in the house. As soon as we have limes in the house, both of us drink up all the gin and tonics with lime. Make Moscow Mules. I had a Mexican mule. I made Mexican mules for us last night while we were just watching shows. I was watching the end of Shogun. Mm. Yeah. Yes.
I like those.
I should just buy more limes. I don't know why.
You can buy them by the big bag.
Correct.
They suffer.
And they keep. Do they just turn into a little rock?
They turn into a very, very difficult to explain little rock. That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
They'll turn into a rock before they mold. Like...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Strange. Unless they're wet. Or
very
you're near like an onion.
Are you keeping your limes wet?
Hey, I'm a fucking gentleman. You don't worry about the humidity of my limes. Okay? This is you're fielding astray, my friend.
Oh, Mike.
Adam.
Before we get too far astray, I should let folks know that we have an Instagram account at Safe as Milk Podcast. We have show notes and merch and more, at safeasmilk.fireside.fm. This is episode 231, Mike.
231.
Hit us with that follow-up.
As we record this on Monday, April 29th, I would like to harken back one calendar day to Sunday, April
28th. Whoa!
Dare I say it,
machine.
Unprecedented occurrence. In the world of sport, my beloved New York Mets, who stink this year, pulled out some late inning heroics, some extra inning heroics to steal a win. My beloved New York Knicks, who are improbably good this year.
So fun.
And overcame some chicanery by the reigning MVP and difficult home cooking whistles. in Philadelphia to take a 3-1, a commanding 3-1 series lead in their first round playoff series against the hated Sixers. The New York Rangers, who are the number 2 seed coming out of the Eastern Conference, put a full on sweep stomp on the stinky poo Washington Capitals.
I like that. I like a lot of that.
And I fuck won a tennis caps. Match.
Mike Short, fuck them caps.
Oh, shit, dog. Come on. He's going to come back on here. Just randy. He's going to demand to record in person.
If it was Kevin, he would remember. Mike, he's not going to remember.
He's not going to remember. You're probably right. Yes. And then I won a tennis match all on the same day. A banner day in the world of sport. Which brings me to my second piece of follow-up. Like I said, we're recording this, but you guys, it won't be released for another week or so. And then a day or two, perhaps after that, is the anniversary of Bartolo Colon hitting the only home run of his illustrious career. That's May 7th, just so that you can...
That is an official holiday of the podcast.
It's an official holiday of the podcast. It lives on my calendar, you know, but also my heart.
If we did a ranking of holidays on this podcast, were we to go astray from our standard pick two topics?
Yeah.
I think this is pretty high up there.
I mean, like, it's definitely for like
there's not enough holidays that I actually care about.
Yeah.
That I would just do this one for fun.
Yeah.
For funsies.
Yeah. Now, obviously, my wedding anniversary would be right after the Bartolo Colon home run anniversary. They would be.
Is it a holiday if only two people celebrate? I guess four people.
4A and 4B is how they would be ranked. but that's all I have for follow-up.
Like you said, the Mets stink. I went to look up their record.
Yes.
When they won that game on Sunday, they lost today.
Ixnay on the today.
They were above 500.
Yes.
When they won on Sunday. That's not terrible.
Nope.
Yes.
Actually, about
there's still
what they should
10,000 baseball games to be played.
There are, I mean, give or take, you know, they've already played 900, so they have 10,000 more to go this year. But yes, no, they do not project to be very good, and as they proved out this evening, continue to only be fine. Yeah, yeah,
they're not the Marlins.
The future, they'll never be the Marlins, even though I think they almost finished behind the Marlins last year.
Marlins are 6-24 right now.
Yeah, it's real bad. There's some real stinko teams in MLB right now.
The Rockies?
But
we don't need to talk. This is not a baseball podcast.
Not a baseball podcast.
It can't even get baseball podcast adjacent.
No. We do not need to be recategorized in all of the various recommendation algorithms.
I'm going to go my only follow-up here. Is a game that I talked about back in episode 120. The Outer Worlds. Made by the Fallout New Vegas developers that I very much enjoyed in the vein of Fallout, but in space and very much influenced by like the 1950s space. A pick that I'm going to talk about later in this show has informed me going back to this game that I played way back in 2019 to play story DLC that came out long after I had finished the game. So I've always often heard that there is story DLC for this game that is very good, that people should go play it, but I was far removed by the time it came out to give it a try. I'm going to talk about a pick later in the show.
Who are you?
That brought me back to this game, and I'm very much enjoying playing it again. I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
You want to take us away with the first pick? Yeah,
I do very much so. My number one pick this week is a comic book. A collected miniseries from 2022 called Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow. Tom King and Bilquis Evely are the writer-artist team for this sort of outer space adventure. It starts with Supergirl turning 21, and she's flown off to the far reaches of the universe to find a planet with a red sun so that she can get drunk because she'll be legal. And she has to find a planet with a red sun to do that because... you know, what makes her a Supergirl?
Ain't got no powers. Under the yellow sun, she's not going to be a...
Correctamundo Fonzarelli. Yep.
Or she is only going to be powerful, yeah.
Yep. And that is sort of the very first two pages of this space tale of revenge is the sort of main driving plot point. Almost like a Western. You know, like they killed my Paul and I'm going to make them pay kind of situation unfolds. And it turns into this grand... what was an 8-issue miniseries. Tom King, we know from The Vision and Mr. Miracle, and that odd but very well done Batman Elmer Fudd one shot.
Yeah.
Did you ever read that?
No, we talked about it. I would only read it if you had delivered it to me at coffee.
Oh, yeah. I have it somewhere. If I, you know, if I
if you find it, bring it on, bring it through. This is my favorite part of one of our. This is a maybe a top 10 item of our friendship. I get to read cool comics Mike just hands me.
Yeah, yeah. It's a it's pretty good actually. I like it. But yeah, Tom King writes good comics. Bilquis Evely is not someone who I'm familiar with, but you know, she's a new name to me, but she's really good at it too. Sort of a kind of a I don't want to say abstract sort of art style because it you know, you don't lose track of who's what. It's not as far out as Trad Moore, who I think maybe I talked about on the show for Silver Surfer Black. I'm almost sure that was a pick at some point.
That sounds right.
He also did a Doctor Strange series. That cat is like far out visually. But she does get in plenty of you know, pretty out there deep space fun in her art. The plot kind of reminds me. Did you read the Jason Aaron Thor run that they based?
Loved it. Read all of it. Loved it. Yes.
So this is kind of not entire. Well, structurally, it's sort of similar to that, right? Like they.
I get what you're going for here. Yeah, I agree. It's very. There's a lot of same energy.
Yeah, they're chasing somebody across the universe. You know, they show a lot of what they do. They're like, oh, and then there was that time on, you know, the fourth moon of, you know, whatever, where, you know, blah, blah, blah.
The Xamphion.
They tell the story. Like Saga does that. Did you ever read Saga?
I was going to say Saga's the other thing because you handed me this comic at coffee yesterday. I am through the first three of the collected total 8 issues today, just reading it at lunch and at breakfast. And I'm very much enjoying it. And Saga was the other thing I was going to bring up as the thing it reminds me of.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like that. Yeah. Yeah, those are two well known and well liked, the Jason Aaron Thor run and Saga, that I would put this in as a comp. If you like that kind of story, this is that. Tom King does a great job in all kinds of stories. Bilquis Evely is a good drawer, a good artist, terrific artist. Mm-hmm. They have another thing that they've done that's an ongoing that I have bought the first couple of, but I haven't read yet. I didn't realize that it was the same team. So now I'm even more excited to get started with that when I get to it.
What's that called, Mike?
Unknown.
Okay.
You know, sometimes I just buy comics, man. You know, I don't, buying the comic, reading the comic, for me are different things. This I bought and read the day I read half of it the day I bought it and finished it the next day. It was
I'm gonna read this tomorrow with coffee.
Kind of captivating.
Much, yeah, very much like this a lot.
Yeah, no, it's a good one. Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow is my first pick.
Excellent, Mike. My first pick is Fallout, the TV show on Amazon Prime. This is the thing I alluded to in the follow up. The reason I am playing The Outer Worlds is I watched all of Fallout on Amazon and very much enjoyed it. And was inspired to, excited to, go back into the world of Fallout when I was reminded that that is challenging to do.
What so makes it a challenge?
I spent about 3 hours on a Sunday downloading mods that fixed the very broken Fallout New Vegas, which is arguably the best Fallout game story-wise. And then loaded up the game and promptly crashed in the 30 minutes to desktop.
Oh, no.
And was like, well, that was a waste of 3 hours.
Oh, no.
So I went and played The Outer Wilds, which is made by the same developer and has a lot of the same energy and is kind of like in that same vein. So that's why I ended up playing The Outer Wilds. But the inspiration for that was this Fallout television show. It is, if listeners were half paying attention... Maybe you're at the grocery store and you have two different brands of milk in your hands and you're trying to figure out which one you want to get. Maybe you weren't paying attention. This is a video game-inspired television show by the series Fallout, a game that has been around forever.
I just understood what you were doing there. I was like, this is a very, very specific circumstance that a person could be listening to this podcast in.
We all have to pay attention to podcast.
Yes.
I'm half paying attention to this one right now. I have to 30 second back for 4 minutes of podcast to sit, figure out what bit is going on right now.
I wish I had that right now. 30 second backup. Yeah.
Well, reel it back in here. This is a TV show, 8 episodes, based on the Fallout show, but that's about as far as you need to go in terms of, like, you don't have to say a single video game. This is a brand new story told in a world that has an interesting enough premise from a video game, which is a post-nuclear war U.S. With, like, where the 1950s was kind of locked away in a time capsule. You're getting this kind of 1950s vibe juxtaposed against, like, Stranger in a Strange Land. So, like, there are these vaults that people essentially hid away from the war in, and they're emerging 200 years later and sending some vault dweller out. They emerge, they have a mission, and then they're interacting with this strange new world. That is the premise of nearly every Fallout game. That is the premise of this television show. But then it promptly does away with any of the storytelling that's ever been done in the video games. It tells its own unique story with lots of nods to the video game, which is great. And does it really well. I was very dismissive of this thing after watching the trailer. I was like, probably bad. And then it got lots of great reviews. And then I pitched it to my family, and we watched all of it in a week. And it was good.
Really?
Yes. I did not know. First episode, we were all hooked. And then watched, I think it was in a 4-day span, actually, we watched all 8 episodes. I do not know many of the main actors here, save Walton Goggins, who is fantastic in this. And then two other main characters, or three main characters. They kind of represent kind of video game morality. There's chaos, lawfulness, and neutral, all represented here in terms of the characters that play out. And then there are tons of little cameos. From lots of actors that folks will know and hopefully love as well. This game, I was going to say game, this movie, damn it. Fuck, I am 1910'd up, Mike.
Oh man, this man 1910'ing.
This television show,
yes,
is probably uses tons of CG because all modern shows do.
Sure.
The best ones essentially hide it. This feels very grounded and practical, even though I know there is tons of CG going on here.
Yeah.
So it's not a distraction. It's not rubber men fighting, essentially, like the Marvel movies. It feels like they did a lot of practical, like, made the Pip-Boy, and then all of the screen stuff on the Pip-Boy. That's the little arm computer that every Vault Dweller has.
I've never played any of these games.
I realized that's why I immediately explained what I was talking about when I said a Pip-Boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
They made the physical Pip-Boys and then essentially did all the screen stuff in post, essentially. The last thing I'll say here is I was shocked that this thing was good, as I mentioned, and then very much loved what I got to watch, and then went and dug up the kind of pedigree of the writing and directing and production staff here. And it's just jam-packed with folks who have done lots of great stuff. Writers and creators and producers and directors from Westworld, Silicon Valley, Portlandia, The Office, some of the good Marvel stuff that's out there, because not all of it's great at this point. This is just a treat of a show that was a big surprise to a video game that I have a lot of fond nostalgia for. That's my first pick, the Fallout television show.
My second pick this week is a television show that I hadn't heard of until last weekend. The show's called Bupkis. Came out in 2023 on Peacock. Sorry, I almost said the cock. That's not okay. Starring Pete Davidson, Joe Pesci, of all people, and Edie Falco as the big name regulars on the show. Pete Davidson plays himself. Another sort of softly autobiographical.
Doesn't Pete Davis sort of just vehicle. Always play himself?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, Joe Pesci, of course, you know from all of the Goodfellas and all your gangster films.
My Cousin Edie Vinny, Falco. Home Alone,
yeah.
All of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then Edie Falco, you know, from The Sopranos. And Nurse Jackie, she was on both of those shows. And she's great. The show is 8 episodes long. For is one season. Got picked up for a second season, but then they just didn't make one. Seems to mostly be based.
Is that a thing that happens regularly?
I guess when you're Pete Davidson, you can be like, nah, I'm good.
Oh, that's very true. It's true. Yeah.
It's sort
usually
of on, very
it's
on brand.
Picked up and it's like guaranteed it's going to happen kind of thing.
Yeah. 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 Seems to mostly be based on stories of things that happened to Pete, with some embellishment, and the guy's kind of had a wild life. He's, well, I guess he, what is 30 maybe?
Still very young.
Yeah. Still very young. It's fucking funny, like brutally, like this fucked up, like I think you'll enjoy it. Like some of the shit that happens is fucking, like you're like, oh no, like, and you start laughing because it's shockingly funny. And
I largely missed the Pete Davidson era of SNL.
okay.
But I have come to appreciate it through watching old clips, just like through YouTube algorithm stuff.
You know, he was fine. You know, he was pretty good. He was a kid. Like, he was really young when he was on.
All so I ever got was, it's... like, the famous not SNL stuff. Like, him just being in the news for stuff
he was
I didn't care
just
about.
Strangely in the news for who he was dating or just weird stuff. Yeah. And the show kind of talks about that pretty plainly. You know, Joe Pesci plays his grandfather. Edie Falco plays his mom. He famously lives in the basement of his mom's house. Based on his life. It's very, very funny, occasionally heartwarming, which is odd considering, you know, what we know about Pete Davidson from, you know, whatever we know, you know, which isn't much, I guess.
Not really. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't know much about the guy, but I guess it's kind of weird that he would make a heartwarming feature film or huh. I'm doing the you. I've got you. I'm 1910 myself. He would make an occasionally heartwarming television show. And he's, I'm not sure why, but he's one of these people that I just kind of want to see do well, not for any real reason. I don't know why, but he's just one of these young celebrities. I'm like, oh, come on, buddy, you can do it. Like, hang in there. It'll be okay. You know, like, I want to see him do well, mostly just not die, I think, in his case.
I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Very strange that Joe Pesci's on a television show because he's a movie guy. Hasn't been on a television show since the 80s. And even more surprising are the sheer volume of famous people that have cameos from episode to episode. You know, they're 27. They're a tight 27 minutes on Peacock. And it's a, you know, you watched and didn't enjoy Poker Face, but there was always somebody famous in every episode.
Yep,
and
sure
this
was.
Is like that, except there's like four famous people in every episode and not just Saturday Night Live famous people, like people from the show, you know, like,
yeah, sure.
Like famous people. It's a lot of fun to watch. We've had several appropriate and inappropriate laughs. I think the people that are his boys in the show might be his real friends. They all go, their characters' names are their real names. Like it's real strange. I didn't do a ton of reading about it. Some friends of ours watched it. They were like, you guys might like this. And we sat down, we cooked through a half dozen of them. Yesterday.
How many episodes of the show was there?
Eight. There's only eight.
Okay. Yeah. Good.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a pretty small time investment. You know, there's warts, you know, he's still Pete Davidson. He's doing Pete Davidson shit, but boy, when it's funny, it is fucking crazy cackling funny. And, Joe Pesci's really good. You know, he's a really good actor. Edie Falco is a great actor. Like they're all really good at it. And, I don't know. I had never heard of it. I know he made that movie.
I'd heard of promo on some somebody came on a comedy podcast that was associated with this thing and was promoting it, so I was aware of it.
Yeah,
but it was never based on that promotion was I going to go watch it.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. On this recommendation, you could probably knock out one or two.
Yeah, and I'll give this a try
and see if it fits. There's only eight of them. Like I said, they're all under half an hour. Weirdly, the first two episodes, and it'll be even more surprising if you do end up watching them, aired on NBC, but after But like after the Late Late Show, like at 2 a.m., they came on, apparently, according to Wikipedia. I don't know. Very strange.
This is a real people, real. I don't know who the audience is up that late to watch this show.
I think it's probably just Pete Davidson. That's the only person, you know. Okay, not sure. Even Joe Pesci's up that late. Yeah. But Bupkis, and it's on Peacock. That's the place. That's where it
and
is.
Man, are we the core audience for this with our Premier League subscription?
Yeah, with 3 weeks left in the Premier League. I think this
I will make use of, now is make the time. Use of this before I turn it off.
Now is the time, exactly. I don't think this is, if you're one of those on-again, off-again people with the streaming services, this by itself isn't reason to turn it on. But if at some point down the road, you hit a window.
This is either getting watched the next 3 weeks or it's waiting until August.
Yeah, exactly. Just put this on the list of things to watch when you fire up the, God, I'm going to say it, fire up the cock. Yeah. Bupkis is my number two.
Excellent. Mike, my final pick for the week is a Netflix series called F1 Drive to Survive.
Drive to Survive.
This is, keen listeners, will know that we talked about Breakpoint in episode 201. That is a Netflix series that covers professional tennis. Made by the same producers of F1 Drive to Survive, but F1 Drive to Survive came first. This was the kind of bona fides of the Breakpoint folks when that thing came out of, hey, did you enjoy that F1 show? And I went, I don't care about racing. I'll just watch this tennis thing. Well, somehow I stumbled into F1 Drive to Survive, which has 6 seasons, a docuseries on the Formula One racing season. Every season of the show is a season of racing. So the 2018 season is the first season of the show that is covered. There are only 20 drivers in the top tiers of F1 racing. There is F2, there is F3, there is F4 in terms of tiers. But in the top level, there are only 20 drivers, which is only 10 teams, 2 drivers per team. So it's really easy to get to know everybody who's in the mix in terms of like the team principals, the drivers, and then all of the other people associated with the team or the individual drivers. I don't know if this is your thing because we think we've talked about, you don't particularly care for like the drama behind the sports.
Yeah, I gave this one a shot.
Okay.
We watched 2 or 3 of them, maybe.
Okay.
And it was like, yeah. I mean, they're all very handsome men. Like, I'm not
they are.
Front. I mean, it's, woof, yeah.
You do not need to necessarily, you need to be a world-class driver and also incredibly marketable.
Yeah.
In order to do this sport.
Yeah. No lumpy uggos. These are all correct. Jawlines, hairlines. They got it all.
All of it. Yeah. They also just so happen to, like, have started like racing when they were 4 years old in go-karts and somehow made it all the way up to like the top level.
Yeah. Super funny.
Strange Humans. No. This show is insanely compelling, at least for me. This is right up my alley in the vein of all of the soccer docuseries and documentaries that I've watched. Everything is hard to kind of compare to the Jordan docuseries, The Last Dance. I really enjoyed that thing. That's kind of the gold standard. This is not that. This is, by the time you get into like season 4, because I've finished all of this, all the way through the 2023 season. By the time you get into season 4, I can't even see the pattern of like what they're doing. You kind of see the formula.
Yep.
But that's okay. I care about all these drivers that I've known since 5 seasons
ago. Since 6 weeks ago. Yeah.
This is what's great about this is it is very unclear if I actually like F1 racing or not, like the actual sport. I've never watched a race. I watched a NASCAR race and I can tell you I don't care for it.
Yeah.
But that's kind of what was around when I was growing up.
Yes.
I always really liked the street courses in NASCAR. I was like, oh, this is actually entertaining potentially.
Huh. Yes.
These are all that. That is all to say that I am maybe the biggest fan of F1 you could be without ever having watched a race. There's a race coming up, not this weekend, but the following weekend, that I'm gonna tune in and watch a race for the first time, which will be fun. And then maybe I'll be like, well, I don't need to do that.
Yeah.
I'll wait till the next season. But I have racers that I like and I root for. I have teams that I like and I root for. So we'll see how that checks out.
See, I mean, I think that's honestly, that's part of, I mean, you grew up here, you know, people that are super into NASCAR, like that's what they really get into. Like the race itself is sort of the peak, but of the wave, but there's other, the crest of the wave, I guess you would call it, but there's a lot more to it. And the deeper parts of like the drivers and the drama and the stories and all that stuff are, you know, what keep people plugged in between races, I guess. It's the same, it's the same with any of it, honestly. Like, you know, it's like wrestling or, you know, the in between the events is what gets people.
It's what frankly keeps me engaged with the NBA regular season. It's not watching all 82 games.
It is
all of the cool game and in between game stuff that happens on social media or on YouTube highlights or all this other stuff that I watch to keep up with the NBA. Like, I care about, I know all of the people, I know a lot of the stories. Yeah. It's compelling for many reasons.
Yeah.
So, it'll be interesting if I don't actually like watching the race. If I'm like, well, this is boring, I'm turning it off.
Yep. And then
it might just be, I'll come back to this as a show later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that would be really funny.
Yep.
If you were just like, nah, I don't really watch the races.
Correct. Nah, I don't actually care for the races.
No, not really my thing.
Going to a race seems fun. When I was in Montreal for spring break a few weeks ago, we rode our bikes. We rode bikes on the track in Montreal for the Canadian Grand Prix. I think going to a race and experiencing that whole entire event could be a lot of fun.
That would
be a lot of fun. That's my last pick is F1 Drive to Survive.
Just like that, we're making podcasts.
Did it.
We dug deep in the mine and came up with this podcast.
Brought out the podcast coal for the listeners.
Podcast coal for the listeners. A little commute furnace. a little grocery shopping furnace. Put that down. Put that box down. Nobody likes that one.
Not that oat milk. Not that one. Not that one. Not that one. How can there be so many?
Exactly. No almond milk. My God. That's defeating the purpose.
I figured that out. Taste test in the house. Oat milk all the way.
I'm an oat milksman. This is known. This is
but,
but I prefer
Mike,
creamy. Yes.
If folks wanted to know more about what you do, including what kind of milks you like that are not cow based. Where might they find you on the internet?
I'm Falfa, F-A-L-F-A, all the places. Where are you?
I am at 180 Lunches on Instagram and 180lunches.com.
Ta-da.
Bang, ba ba bang, bang.
Bang, bang.